as we look at the next principle of prayer in verse 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to You asking for help. We confess that, Lord, though we run to You as children, saying,
I know, I know, I know, I know. Lord, we confess if we truly knew, we would do. Grant us repentance to see the ignorance in our own lives. Help us to not look to the left or to the right. Help us to see ourselves and our great need for Your help. Lord, please be gracious to Your church for the one who teaches is of feeble mind and slow in tongue. For the ones who listen are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. But we are Your children. Be gracious to us and send forth Your power. Lord, please do the work that only You can do. Rend the veil. Clear the mist. Show us Your glory. Grant repentance of sin in our lives. Do not leave us to our own means, to our own faculties, to our own ways. Help us, Lord, to overcome our flesh in this world and the evil one. God, as we come to You asking You, Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. Help us, Lord. Help us to grow as we understand what prayer is about. Forgive us, Lord, for our lives we live before You. We say constantly, I know, I know, I know, I know. Grant repentance this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Instructions on how to pray. Our Lord, as He has been giving us step by step a framework, it is not a mantra, it is not a prescription, it is not something we simply say and go through. It is helping us. It is helping us to meditate and think about where we are with our Lord. We have taken the last few weeks, or really the last few steps. It's been so divided. I know that it must be difficult for you to remember everything, because I have to go back and read my own notes to remember. So I pray that the Lord is gracious in helping you and bringing these things to your mind and helping you remember what these, as we build on this, what does this mean, our Father in heaven, that we do have an intimate relationship with God as a believer, as a child of God, that we have this intimacy with Him, that He is not like even the best of fathers and definitely the worst of fathers. He is not like that. But He is our Father in heaven. So there is an intimacy in this as we open this prayer. Hallowed be Thy name. That we also acknowledge that even though He is our Father who is in heaven, that we must understand that there's a holy respect that comes with that. And then, as we looked at last week, that we pray for His intervention in our lives. Lord, please don't leave us to ourselves. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, please do these things. Now we come to the part in the prayer where we start asking, we petition Him to help get to take care of us. Give us this day our daily bread. So as we have looked at this and as we have gone through this, and it's interesting to me, I was given a book even this week by Andrew Murray on prayer. And as I was reading it, convicted to the core, how our churches, our Christian churches, are prayerless. And the sin of prayerlessness that dwells in our churches. And how we are okay with the prayerlessness in our own lives. And as Reformed folks, we strive for good doctrine and good teaching and understanding good things. But we let go of the communication. Really, our life line. And how it is a sin in our lives. And the average believer, the average professor of Christ, Not just people in the church, but people that actually say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I'm committed. I have a relationship with Him. The average believer in America prays less than 5 minutes a day. God have mercy upon us. He covered a text that you know. We have read it here that I want to read to you before we begin. It's in Isaiah 59. You can write it down. You don't have to turn there. But I do want you to go back and read it. Isaiah 59 verse 1 through 3 says this. Remember, the prophet Isaiah is talking to the people of God. He's not talking to the pagans outside that don't know. He's talking to God's people. And this is what the prophet says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Take heed, church, and tremble. My wife, Beth, was just asking me, "What are you okay? What's wrong?" And all I could say is, "How, Lord, how do you share truth like this to your people apart from your Spirit?" For those who have ears, let them hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perversities. I agree with Murray. There are things that hinder a believer's prayer life. I'm going to just give a list and we're going to jump into this verse because we need to hear it this morning. We need the balm, the medicine of God in our lives. We need to, for Him to heal us. Seven things, and this is not inclusive, all inclusive. This is just things that are obvious. Seven hindrances to prayer. Religion, tradition, without an abiding relationship. Number two, sin. Transgression of God's laws and commandments. Number three, self-centeredness, pride. Number four, idols, those things we lean upon more than we lean upon God. That is what an idol is. Things you trust more than you trust God. Money, your job, your relationship with your spouse, your children. Number five, broken relationships. Husbands, hear me. If you are not treating your wife rightly, Scripture says your prayers are hindered. Wives, listen. Broken relationships within the body, broken relationships with family members. Six, an unforgiving spirit. And seven, I added this one. Busyness. Just flat being too busy. I'm the guy that works at the construction scene and everybody else has messed up thumbnails and I hit myself in the thumb to just be with the gang on that seventh point. Not that I don't do all of these things. But here we say, give us this day our daily bread. Lloyd-Jones has said, as unlike anyone else, as the doctor, he was a medical doctor, and he believed in diagnosing the spiritual problem and then giving the answer. And so he would ask questions to try to diagnose. That's why his writings are so deep. That's why there's so much in it. But he asked a couple of questions that I think are right on. Why should we ask God for what we already have in such abundance? He looked around Europe at his time, and he saw the abundance of their lives. And I think it's very appropriate for us today. Look at America. Look at the comfort that we live in. Look at everything around us. And it's why, as we come to this point, why do we need to even pray, give us this day our daily bread? Why should we ask this when we already have so much abundance around us? Because we don't really see our need. Why, when many of us need to consume less food than we do, ask God for bread? Martin Luther, the good German, says that the bread here that we request is this: everything necessary for the preservation of life is bread. Everything God gives us for the preservation of our life is bread. Bread meaning the physical provision in our lives. Your food, the shelter over our heads, our clothes, the sun shining, sleep. These things that God gives us, rest for the body. These things that God gives us that we need for the provision of our lives. So what does this mean? As we look at this verse, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? As we will look, I'm going to touch on it right now, but at the end, at the application, I'm going to touch more upon it. But God provides for His children. If you are a child of God, He will provide for you. He is going to be a good father. He is going to take care of you. Well, what does that mean for those who are outside of His holy will, or outside of His family, not a child of God? Well, there is definitely common grace. God is gracious to even the ones who hate Him. For them to breathe, for their heart to beat again, for them to enjoy this world, for them to be able to have friendships and relationships, and for them to be able to live and exist in this world and survive. That's common grace, whether they recognize it or not. God has given that to them. But this that the Lord is teaching us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This is a more focused request of His children asking, requesting for daily bread. Much against the health and wealth and prosperity gospels in America, our daily bread does not mean steak or prime rib. Our God will always provide the necessities of our lives. He will always give us those things. And He doesn't always give us the niceties. Amen? But He's such a good Father, isn't He? None here today, believe me, we enjoy the necessities and a whole lot of niceties. Amen? We must learn to recognize the difference between what is really a need in life and what is a want. He has never promised to bathe us. Regardless of what the preachers say on television, regardless of what the majority and the popular gospel that is out in America, He has never promised to bathe us in luxury, no matter how much faith you may have. He's never promised that. He's never promised us to give us a jet instead of a car. Too often we look at what is uncomfortable as evil in our society. The things that are uncomfortable to the body, we reject as not of God. Too many Christians believe that God is obligated to finance whatever they endeavor. Last Sunday morning, I came to church, and I guess they had slipped it through the double doors, and I let Kurt read them. I was an envelope, and in the envelope was stuffed a whole bunch of prayers. Do you remember them, Kurt? And in these prayers, they were proclaiming what God was going to do. Grant them millions of dollars. Prayer after prayer after prayer. And in this envelope was separate, and they put their names at the bottom and was asking us to agree with them to pray for this. Guys, that's the predominant view of Christianity today. That God is obligated to grant us our greatest wishes. That He must do whatever our greatest desires are because we are His children. That is a doctrine of demons. That's a doctrine that's alien from Scripture. That's a doctrine of humanity, of humanism, of selfishness, of self-centeredness, of pride. We have so misunderstood Philippians 4:13, you know, you've seen it. You've seen it on the bumper stickers. You've seen it on the back of T-shirts. You've heard people quote it in Christian circles all over. And they forget, they have not read the verse right above it. Matter of fact, I'm sure they haven't read the whole book of Philippians. Because verse after verse after verse, Paul is writing in this book about how being a part of this family is a family of suffering. How God has called us to pick up our cross and follow Him. And it's a calling in some ways of suffering and self-denial. But we use this verse so quick, Philippians 4:13. And we add it to our own desires. Oh, this is what I want to do. And by the way, Philippians 4:13, God's going to help me because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's not at all what that verse says. Matter of fact, turn to Philippians 4. Just turn there if you... And we're going to look at verse 12. Matter of fact, we're going to look at verse 11. I wish we could look at the whole book. I guess we could later. Verse 11 says this, "Not that I speak in regard to need." Paul is saying, "I'm not speaking to you about a need. For I have learned in whatever state I am in, to be content." Whatever state, God, You have placed me in, I have learned to accept that and know that that is of your hand. And learn from that. Now this is Apostle Paul writing. Verse 12. I know how to be abased. Do you know what that means? That means to have just your basic needs met. Basic needs for survival. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. So he's saying, listen, I know how to have great luxury and abound and how to act properly in that. To do right with what you've given me, God. And I also know how to be on this other end and have nothing but my basic survival needs. That's a contrast that he's drawing. I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full, listen, and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I understand how it feels to suffer and to need and to be needy. And I understand how it means to have a lot. And I could do all things through Christ. How we use that verse in America? We decide what we want to do. And then we tag on, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Listen, all of us in this room is guilty of that. Bad theology. Paul's saying is, whatever circumstances God places you in, if you are His child, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what that verse means. This is what this point means in prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Amen. What a wonderful truth. We cannot pray this. We don't know how to pray this. Give us this day our daily bread without praying, Thy will be done. Amen. We can't. They go together. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. They go together. Lord, have your will. Lord, do your holy will in everything in life. Do your holy will in my life, in my family's life, in our church's life, in our community's life. Lord, you do your work here, now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Kurt read about, we sang about remembering the experiences of the Israelites. Kurt didn't know I was even going to use this illustration. But if you turn, I want you to turn to this in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. This is when the people were asking God for meat. They had come out of exile. They had come out of Egypt. They were in the promised land, and they were gathering around, and they were grumbling. You can read the rest, starting in verse 1. You can read it. I mean, you can go back to chapter 10 too. But God blessed them in their exodus, in their coming out of Egypt, and blessed them tremendously, and were providing for them food and water every day, providing for them. And what started happening? They started grumbling. Well, first things first. The first thing, they stopped thanking Him. They stopped saying, Lord, thank You for providing this. They stopped it. At first, they were gracious. They were overwhelmed when they had water from a rock. Lord, thank You for that. We're in the desert. Thank You. We need water. Then they were thankful for the bread, the manna. But they stopped thanking Him for His provision. Secondly, they stopped asking Him for it. They stopped saying, Lord, please help. Please give us this bread, this water. So they stopped thanking Him. Then they stopped asking Him. And thirdly, do you know what happened next? It happens. This is good principles for everything in your life. When you stop thanking Him and you stop asking Him, then you start complaining about your situation. They started grumbling. They began to grumble. And fourth, they started wanting what everybody else has. And you know what God did? He gave it to them. I want us to read it. That's why I asked you to give it. We stopped thanking Him. We stopped asking Him. We began to grumble. And then we began to want what everybody else has. And you know what God did to His children? He gave them what they asked for. Listen to this. Verse 18 of chapter 11. It says, Then you shall say to the people, Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. That's verse 18. Let's read verse 19. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you despise the Lord who is among you and have wept before Him saying, Why did we ever come out of Egypt? Can I tell you something? That's us. That's us. Be careful what you ask, for your Heavenly Father may give it to you. There's something that I want to apply before I close. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 37, In light of time, I wasn't even planning on reading the whole psalm, but it's a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm you need to spend time with. It's a psalm that you need to go to and read. But it is a psalm for believers. It is a psalm for the children of God. And in this psalm, over and over again, he says, the psalmist says, God will provide for His children. He will take care of His children. And over again, he says, but it's only for those who trust Him. It's only for those who love Him. This psalm is only for those who are believers. For over and over, in verse 3 it says, for those who trust in the Lord. For verse 4 it says, those who delight in the Lord. Verse 5 it says, for those who commit their way to the Lord. Verse 7, for those who rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And do you know what David, the psalmist, writes? And ask some of our seniors here today that have walked with the Lord for years, ask them. They could say the same thing. Look at verse 25. David writes, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Amen! That's glorious! Do you know what that means? That means if you are a child of God, trust Him! And He will not only take care of you, but He will take care of your posterity. Amen! That's glorious! You trust Him most! You go to Him most. Let Him provide for your needs. Go to your Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Church, I close with this. Those who have needs this morning, you can stay right where you are. You can come to this altar. You can come to this front chairs. But I ask, as we close, if you would quietly leave. But church, let me ask you this. What are the needs in your life today? Come to Him. Run to Him. Lay them down before the Lord. Ask Him for your daily bread this day. And when you are done, you're dismissed. But this is what I ask. It's open, the altar's open, and if everybody would just, if you would leave quietly. But if you're not physically able to come here, just stay where you are and pray. And then leave when you're ready. I'm going to lead us, lead us in a closing but opening prayer. And then you do your business with the Lord and go home. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for when we think that we are better than anybody and we have provided better than someone else. Forgive us when we look at our lack and others' abundance. And we envy. Forgive us, Lord, when we trust in other things and don't trust You. Lord, You know every person here. You know everything that is going on. Nothing is hidden before You. Lord, no matter how far we may run, no matter how far we may try to not talk about it, stuff it down, cover it up, do whatever, Lord, You see it all. Help us, Lord, to come to You now. Hear our cries. Do Your work that only You can do, Lord, for Your great name. We ask. In Jesus' name, amen.